Today's scripture reading is from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 19, Faith and Deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Reading. Choir always does a great job. I did really enjoy that particular. It was very good. Very good. I really enjoyed that. And Lisa, you did a great job with the sign language part. That was good. We appreciate it. So some pancake clarity. Just in case we need some pancake clarity. We're having a Rotary pancake supper this Saturday in the church before the Christmas parade. And I think that's from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'm a Rotarian, and even though I'm not the fundraising chair, once I said, "Yeah, we can meet at the church, that'd be great," they said, "Oh, and you won't mind leading that, will you, since you're the pastor?" So I'll be leading that. I'll be there all morning. And if anybody knows where another electric skillet is downstairs, I would love to be able to find something like that. So I'm sure maybe we have one. You can tell me. If not, I'm going to assume we don't have one. And then in a couple weeks, on a Thursday morning, we're doing another pancake deal. Marcia and I are going to throw it together, pancake, sausage, eggs. And it's just really a get-together. We just want to get together. And so if you've got the morning available, you can come have pancakes and hang out. We just want to hang out with you. It's a gathering, and we got to have food if we're going to get together. So we're going to provide food, and we're going to have a great time. So I hope in a few weeks on Thursday, for those of you that are available to come, that you can come and have some pancakes, and we can enjoy ourselves. So, we've spent the last 7 weeks talking about values, and I actually ran into a scripture reading, a reading this morning that I wanted to share with you all, and I thought, my gosh, that kind of ties into a lot of why we've done this. And this is really a bit before my time. It's a bit before any of your all's time, but you might have heard of this from your parents. As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. So this was a reading I heard this morning. I was like, oh yeah, that's why we've been talking about this, right? So James Allen, he says in that book, he said, "The aphorism, 'as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he,' not only embraces the whole of man's being, but is so comprehensive as to reach out to every condition and circumstance of life. A man is literally," and this applies to women too, "a man is literally what he thinks. His character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. As the plant springs from and could not be without the seed, so every act of a man springs from the hidden seeds of thought and could not have appeared without them. This applies equally to those acts called spontaneous and unpremeditated as to those which are deliberately executed," right? And so here we've been talking about this for 7 weeks because really, our values come out of our thoughts and who we are, and they're such a deep connected part of us. And so, as we've talked about values and the Adaptive Change team has thought about values that kind of lead our church, we don't think we picked values that aren't actually already present here, but that are fully present here within you all. Right? And so we just want to keep focusing on those things with greater strength. Now, since we've spent 7 weeks talking about values, we could take those values, we could slap them on the website, and call it a ball game, right? Like, okay, there's the values. But we want to do more with those. We want to do more with those. And so today I want to talk to you about 2025, next year, and how these values will continue to lead us in a new year, right? In a new season, how they're going to give us direction. Now, speaking of direction, right? And we're talking about direction. Who here has a natural direction sense? Like you just, north, south, east, west, you just know it. Anybody? You're feeling pretty good about this? Okay, can you come up here with me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Come on up here. There you go. Give him a hand. All right. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to test your direction sense, okay? Can you point to north for me? From here? Yep, from here. Natural direction sense, which way's north? A natural direction sense just left you, didn't it?
North.
No? It's that way? Okay, you lost. I brought you up here. I completely lost your mojo. Okay, all right. Have a seat here. And anybody else think they can more aptly kind of? I know where north is. Right here. Did you raise your hand? You know. Okay, well, come on up here then. Well, yeah. No, you said you have direction. Come on up here. Come on, sweetie. You don't want to? Okay, I just need a volunteer who can, huh? Sue? Come on up here, Sue. All right. Come on up. Okay, Sue. Where's?
That was Mason's problem. He needed to be
outside. And he would have got it. Where's south, Sue?
South, that way.
Okay, is that right? Okay, all right. Well, yeah, let's see how good of a sense of direction you have. Are you ready for this? Do you think I could blindfold you and you still?
Nope.
You don't think you can do it?
Nope.
Okay, all right, never mind. Stupid illustrations. Do you think you can do it? Okay, there you go. Way to be a good sport.
Don't spin me
around. Oh, I was going to spin you around.
That's fine.
Okay, all right. How about you just. Yeah, can you just close your eyes?
Okay.
All right, just close your eyes. I put that on you, you might freak out, all right? Okay? All right, you ready? I'm going to spin you around. All right. Stop. Okay, do you feel like you know where north is? Where's north? That way? Is that right? That's pretty right. Okay, all right, good job. I'm going to let you stop there. God bless you for coming up as my wife and doing that, so I appreciate it. Yeah. Okay, so that's a real natural sense, right? And I've had different friends in life who had that kind of natural sense. You could close their eyes, you can spin them around, and they'll go, yeah, north, south. You know, they just nail it, which is always amazing to me because I have the opposite of natural direction, which is why it's a good thing I'm married to her, because she catches me in this all the time, right? Because here's what I do. I get off the highway, I pull into a gas station, I get gas, and I get back on the highway, and I'm inevitably going back the direction I came from, right? And so then I've got to turn around, and I've got to go back the other way. And the worst experience of this that I ever had was I was with a friend, Brandon. My friend Brandon, Smoky Mountains, we were going fishing. It was when I was a seminary student in Kentucky. And we were fishing, and the river was getting deeper and deeper, and we thought, well, we're going to go over this hill. We're going to cut over the hill. When we get to the other side of the hill, we'll kind of fish our way back to the car. And so we climbed this giant Smoky Mountain hill. We came down the other side. We got into the river, and I started heading kind of the direction of the car. And he goes, where are you going? And I said, well, we want to go back in the direction of the car. He goes, I don't think that's the direction of the car. And I'm like, well, we were just back there. We were going that way. We're over the hill. We're going that way. He's like, I don't think so. Like, I think that's the wrong way. And I said, can we? And he goes, you got to stop. He goes, you realize we're out in the Smoky Mountains right now? Like, we are out with bears and streams, and there's nobody out here. So I just want you to stop for just a minute. Let us get oriented. Let me kind of double check this, and then we'll go. And so sure enough, we stopped, which was, I guess, in backpacking, that's a big major rule, is you should stop and orient yourself and not, psh. So he did that, and sure enough, he's like, it's this way. And so I said, okay, like I'll go that way. Like, I'm guessing you know better than I. Well, he was absolutely right. We had gone over the hill and actually dropped into a different river that like merged with our river at a different point. And so it would have been very bad had I taken us out in the middle of nowhere. Now, with all of that kind of orienteering and trying to find your direction, there's a really helpful tool, isn't there, that we can use. And believe it or not, it's not a cell phone, like a cell phone can. But what's the other non-technological tool that can help us find our way when we're outside? A compass. That is correct. A compass, right? So part of what we're talking about today is we're talking about this direction and the importance of kind of relying upon other people with direction and kind of getting help with that. We've decided to kind of make some changes to our leadership structure next year that I want to talk to you about that's a part of this. And we've been talking about this adaptive change team, and we've talked about the adaptive change team met, and they worked on kind of understanding adaptive skills as an organization and what that looks like in a church. And so we spent a lot of time doing that, and then we talked about these values and these values that are a part of us and how they're going to shape us. And we were talking about many other things, but what we want to see happen is we want to see this team kind of expand, and we want to see this team continue to kind of help us, like, line our ministries and everything up with these values. Just like my reading from James Allen, like what he talked about with you know, so you think, so you do, right? And so what we've decided to do is we're kind of changing the name of the adaptive change team to the compass team. They're going to become the compass team, right? And so the compass team is going to handle items related to vision, ministry, and church direction, right? That's what they're going to work on now and continue to work on in the new year. For the past 5 years, we moved to kind of a leadership board model. 5 years ago, it was before I came here, and we moved to this model, and we've tried to continue with it, where you consolidate all these teams down and into one team, into one group. And what we have found, and what I have found, and have to admit as well, is that it has been challenging to tend to all the administrative functions of a church, along with vision, along with direction, along with some different strategic things, right? And so what we've agreed to do in 2025 is to move to kind of this hybrid model, right? This hybrid model. And so we're going to bring back some of these smaller, we're going to bring them back as smaller sub-teams, right? Because we used to have the staff parish relations committee and finance committee and trustees and then the administrative board. And so we're going to bring back these teams, but they're going to be kind of 3 to 5 people on each of these teams. And that way, the administrative board and these different teams can really focus on just the administrative work of the church, which in a church like ours is still actually a lot of work. Like, we have staff, once again, financially. People are very generous here, and so we have these wonderful gifts that help kind of give direction to our ministry. And so we're going to try something similar but a little different. And the compass team is going to work on items related to direction and ministry and mission. And the goal is really for the administrative board and the compass board or team to really work together well, to communicate with one another, and to have a good awareness of where we're going together. And so that's just providing just kind of a snapshot, right? What you see up there, it's just a snapshot of some of the shifts that we're making in the new year. We're trying to adapt to the changes that we see going on as a church in our community and in our culture. We're trying something new. We're pivoting. We're changing it up a bit. Along those lines, we have this new, I'm going to say a vision statement. It's really an expansion of the previous vision statement. I don't know that it's really, it's really just getting more specific. And so if you put that up, the vision statement has been to create opportunities for all to serve God, which is, I think, who we are. It's a lot of what we do. And so this new statement is really just being more specific about how we're going to do that. And that is, we will spend the next year living our shared values as we become a more compassionate and outwardly focused church, which is once again about how we are all going to serve. And so we want to talk about how we're all going to do this together. Our plan, our mission, is to make disciples at First United Methodist Church, which is what almost all of you are. You all are all disciples. And so what we want to do is we just want to talk more about in 2025 how you can be a part of making this mission become even truer for us as it is today. And so what's going to happen in 2025, we're just through different means, we're going to focus on a different value each month. A different one of those values. Now, we're going to take, there's seven values, we're going to take the three simple rules, and we're going to talk about one of those each month. So, do no harm 1 month, do good 1 month, stay in love with God 1 month, right? So we're going to kind of spread it out that way. Our team, the Compass team, they're working on a calendar for you. They want you to have a calendar, and they want you to be able to use this calendar, and it's going to have at the top of each month the value that we're kind of focusing on as a church, and it's going to have some scriptures that you can read to maybe meditate upon that value, and then there's going to be a section on that calendar for you to write your goals and experiments for the month. Goals and experiments for the month. What is an experiment, you might ask? We're not chemists, Pastor Jim. We're Christians, right? Well, we're gonna get a little scientific here. An experiment is a way for you to team up with someone else in order to live into that value a little more in that month, right? And so it could just be one other person. It's like, hey, you want to talk to one other person? You're gonna go after it with him. It could be a group of people. It might be your Sunday school class. We'll want to, at the beginning of the month, say, how can we do this together? Could be all our women's circles. One of our women's circles might do this. Could be our men's group. Men's group might do this, right? It's just a creative way that you're going to find to live out this, hopefully, shared value in that month. Now, as an example of that, our Compass team, we are currently working on a plan for an experiment to do next month, and I can't divulge all of it, but we're going to go somewhere where a lot of people gather, and we're going to provide them kind of a snack and something to drink, and we're making these pins that say, you know, do good, right? And so we're going to thank them for the good that they do, kind of give them this pin, and so if you're interested in helping out with that one, Kathy Huff said I could. Is she here? Is Kathy here? Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to find Kathy later. So, but you can talk to her. So that's kind of a way that we're planning something out to do something there. And now here's how we take this up another notch, right? So we've got this calendar, we've got this value. You just want to think about ways that you can live into that value. In 2025. Communion Sundays are going to become share Sundays. Share Sundays, right? You get a chance in worship to share about how you did an experiment or you tried to be about this value more in your life and what resulted because of it. Like what happened as a result of you focusing on this thing, right? And maybe it was an experiment with your group. You can bring your group up. You guys can talk about it. Maybe it's you and a friend. Maybe it's just you. But you get to kind of share how you lived into that value, right? And so the stories, your stories, become our message on Communion Sundays in 2025, right? Now, that is, of course, except for Easter. The Jesus has risen thing is our focus in April. That is, of course, in December, where that Jesus is being born thing is our focus in December. And that takes us really up until about the end of October. November, we'll kind of do this big kind of thankful deal about how we've grown as a result of these focused values. Now, so most Communion Sundays 2025 will be about kind of getting you prepared about what it looks like to enter more fully into this value, into your life for that month, but then also giving thanks for the ways you lived into that value, a group of people lived into that value, and what were the results, right? And so that's kind of where this is going to go. What is God doing in your life as a result of these new things? That's what the Compass team is going to pay attention to. They're going to pay attention to what is going on in the life of our church as a result of these things. What's bubbling up? What new relationships are being formed? What things are happening that seem to be gaining some momentum and some energy? Where is God leading us as a congregation? And so this is our plan to live into our mission statement of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, right? You see, the challenge that we have today that we're all aware of is that, you know, people don't come to church as they once did, right? That's just not always the case. Therefore, it's time for us to, I think, do what we've been doing, and that is to take the church to people in our community, to help bring faith into the community, to become more compassionate, to become more outwardly focused, and to serve our community. So today's and really to be obedient to Christ in that way, who has the Great Commission, who tells us to go and make, not sit and wait, right? Sit and wait. No, go and make. Today's scripture passage, it comes from James. It comes from his letter, right? James is a pragmatist, if there ever is one. And he believes that you should lead out of good actions. Otherwise, you're just like demons. Isn't that kind of a rough comparison? You're like a demon if you don't do this. But, I mean, he's kind of making a bit of a point. And so James would say, look, you have your theology, you have your beliefs, that's great, but how does it live out in your life differently? How will you live? How will you act? What will you do? And so if believing is the extent of your Christianity, then James would say your faith is dead. That's a dead faith, right? And so the Compass team, they want to give everyone an opportunity to have a living faith, right? That's kind of the work that we've been doing for 2025, to give direction, to kind of give you some tools, to give you an opportunity to share with one another. The conversations here are important. And so I would ask you in 2025 to be brave. Be brave to live into this and be brave to share with one another the good results of your good work. Everybody might have an opportunity at some point to be able to be up here and just kind of share. This is what God did because of this thing, right? Being a follower of Jesus Christ, it's a call upon your whole life. It's a call upon your whole entire life. It's upon you until the very, very end, that very last breath. And so every year is an opportunity that you and I have to be changed by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as people and as a church. The church is here so that we can provide one another spiritual direction in our lives. How is God a part of this thing? You're the church. You are the church. And so you provide this to one another in what you do together, what you share with one another, how you ultimately encourage one another to live out your faith. And so let's begin to pray about the new things, the new opportunities that are going to be born in us as a congregation because of how we serve Christ in this new way, really in a way that's already seated here. It's really, we think, comes out of a lot of who we are as a church and just blossoms in 2025. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this church, for each person in this room, for their gifts, for their abilities, for their love of this church and their love of one another. Lord, help us to fall more in love with our community and to be a good servant to our community as Jesus was a good servant to all the communities around him. Help us to have patience and endurance and love and a sense of gracefulness here, a sense of gracefulness with one another that goes out into the community and is felt and experienced. Lord, allow us to make disciples in this good way. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.